Okay, I'm now going to ask Paula, my Paula, to read the Bible reading for us, if that's okay. Thanks, Paula.
I've unmuted myself. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, good. Okay. So I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. And in my Bible, the section is called A Call to Persevere. So Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
In a moment, I'm going to hand over to Jen, who's going to be doing the talk this morning. But before I do that, just to give you a suggestion of a craft activity or activity which you can be doing during Jen's talk. My suggestion is that you think about a word which describes Jesus or describes God, which is particularly significant to you at the moment. And then, I don't know whether this is possible, but create something or draw something which represents that characteristic of God. Okay, so a characteristic of God. Think about that one in particular and either draw or make something which represents it, or just write the word down and decorate it in some way. It would be another way of doing it. So there you go. I'll see whether anybody manages to come up with something for that while Jen is talking. But I'm now going to mute myself and hand over to Jen. So thanks very much, Jen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to be with you today, albeit on Zoom. These are strange times we're living in at the moment, aren't they? But thank God for technology, hey, that you know, we can still worship God together. We can still encourage one another. Well, today I'm going to be continuing your theme on the book of Hebrews and sharing from the passage that was just read to us from Hebrews 10. And just like was read to us, that actually this passage in scripture actually has the subheading, A Call to Persevere in Faith. And that is really the theme that runs throughout the book of Hebrews. It's really looking at how do we persevere in our faith? How do we hold on to God and stay strong as Christians through the ups and downs of life? And, you know, I really believe that the only way that we can do that is to hold on to God. We have to stay connected with the one who is the author of our faith, the one who is the founder of our faith, the one who started this whole thing, the one who initiated the relationship with God. We have to stay connected to God. You see, I believe that it's only through an ongoing, authentic relationship with God that we can really persevere in our faith through the ups and downs of life. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, the author is really urging the listeners to persevere in our faith. And he encourages them to do three things. First of all, to draw near to God. Secondly, to hold on to hope. And thirdly, to encourage one another. And I just want to unpack these as we go through this morning. So the first key to persevering in our faith, and I believe this is the real foundational one, is draw near to God. Draw near to God, to come right into the presence of God. And you know, the writer to the Hebrews encourages us that, you know what, when you come into the presence of God, remember two things: come with confidence and come with sin. Come with confidence. You see, when we come into the presence of God, we need to come in with that absolute confidence that we are welcome, that we are accepted, that we will be forgiven, that we will receive strength. And secondly, we need to come with a sincere heart. In other words, we need to be authentic. We need to be real, not just going through the motions with God, but actually really pouring out our heart, sincerity and confidence. I wonder if I was to ask you this morning how you come into the presence of God, how you draw near to God, would those be two words that characterize that for you? Because I think actually many of us struggle in our approach to God. Many of us struggle to really draw near to God with sincerity and with confidence. And I think some of that is a hangover from our culture. You know, we live in a very performance orientated culture where our performance equals our worth, and we can bring that into our relationship with God. And so what can happen is we come to God on the basis of our performance. We try to earn our way to God. We try to earn our salvation through right behavior. And when we do that, so often we come into the presence of God feeling on the back foot, so aware of the things that we haven't done, or the failings, you know, the things that we've got wrong, aware of the prayers we haven't prayed. And we can have this real sense that God is disappointed. But, you know, I really want to remind you this morning that that just could not be fair. God is not disappointed with you. God loves you so much. You know, our confidence in drawing near to God is not based on anything that we have done or haven't done. It's based on what Jesus has done. You know, Jesus knew that we would never live a perfect life. And that's why he died in our place. That's why he took our punishment and died in our place, so that nothing would prevent us from having that ongoing relationship with our Father in heaven. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There's a great quote by J. John, and he says, Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's about a heart transformation. I think so often we make it that. We make it about our behavior, but God is actually really looking for our heart. And so I just want to remind you this morning that actually our confidence in drawing near to God is not based on our performance. It's based on what Jesus has done. Like Philip Yancey says, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. So I want to encourage you to come boldly into the presence of God, knowing that you'll be accepted and welcomed. But I also want to encourage you to come with a sincere heart, to be authentic and real with God. And you know, the reason that we can do that, the reason why we can be real with God, is because, you know, Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus is there ready to meet us. And, you know, Hebrews 4 gives us a little bit of insight about what it means to have Jesus as our high priest. You see, Hebrews 4 tells us that we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not. You know, this is such a beautiful picture, that Jesus is there to welcome us into the presence of God. And he's the one who really understands. I don't know if you've ever been through a situation where that has been really challenging and you've wondered, actually, does anyone really get it? Does anyone really understand the pain that I feel right now? Does anyone understand the way that this is impacting me? Does anyone understand how this challenge is affecting me? I want to say to you today that there is one that understands, and his name is Jesus. You see, Jesus came to earth. He laid aside his deity and he was a man. He came to the earth as a man. So he experienced what it means to be human. He understands our vulnerabilities. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our temptations. And so when we come into the presence of God, not only can we come with confidence, knowing that we will be welcomed and accepted, we also can come into the presence of God knowing that we will be understood, knowing that we will be heard, knowing that actually we are welcomed with open arms and with someone that really not only wants to listen, but also wants to extend his help, his love and his support to us. Jesus is our great high priest. You know, I think if there's ever a time that we needed a great high priest, it's now. Because these are challenging times that we're living in. You know, these are unprecedented times. They're uncertain times. No one knows quite what next week or next month is going to look like. And the theologian N.T. Wright, also known as Tom Wright, has actually written a book in response to the pandemic. And one of the things he says is that actually, what is our response as Christians in these times? And he encourages us to lament. You know, when we lament, we're actually asking those really searching questions of why God, or how long God, or when are you going to come through for us, God? You know, it's those questions that come from that really deep place. And there's actually a book in the Bible that is called the Book of Lamentations, and it was written by the prophet Jeremiah, who was actually called the weeping prophet. And he's weeping over the circumstances that are going on at that time. And he's really just pouring out the depth of his heart and his despair and his pain and his anguish. And yet in the middle of that, there are these amazing verses. Jeremiah says this: "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this will I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morn. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I wait for him." You see, as Jeremiah pours out his heart, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that was in there, he just poured it out to God. He was once again reminded of the hope of God's love, of the hope of God's faithfulness. You see, it wasn't that Jeremiah had abandoned God or deserted him. It was just that all of that stuff was just buried underneath all of the pain of the current circumstances. But you see, as we begin, as we draw near to God, and as we're really able to pour out our hearts in his presence, suddenly we're able to reconnect with the love and the faithfulness of God. We're able to reconnect to hope. And you know, that's the second key that the writer to the Hebrews encourages in this passage, that we hold on to hope. You see, I think that actually challenging circumstances is a great revealer of where our hope is actually. You know, we say we put our hope in Jesus, but actually circumstances, challenging circumstances, sometimes reveal that actually maybe our hope is in our finance. Maybe our hope is in our employment. You know, maybe our hope is in our relationships or our health or this our success. And when we, in those moments, when we're faced with that reality, that there's this disconnect between what we're saying and actually what our circumstances are now revealing, there is no condemnation. It's just an opportunity to realign our and actually put our hope in Jesus. You see, Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is our anchor. It says we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And as we place our, as we're reminded that our hope is in Jesus, we're able to actually reconnect with that sense of God's faithfulness, and we're able to look to the future with hope. And you see, from that place, from that renewed sense of security and peace, we're able to reach out our hand and we're able to encourage one another. And that's the third key that the writer to the Hebrews reminds us of in this passage, to encourage one another. We come into the presence of God. We come with confidence. We come with a sincere heart. We pour out our heart to God and we're reminded who God is, that God is sovereign, that he's on the throne, that he reigns, that he is faithful. And with that renewed sense of hope and confidence, we can then pour out that same love, that same hope into the lives of others. And so I want to encourage you this week to come into the presence of, to draw near to God, to hold on to that hope, and to think of someone this week that you can encourage, that you can come alongside. Maybe you can send them a text, or maybe you can phone them. Maybe you could write them a letter. Maybe you could pray for them. But to think about how can we actually encourage one another. God bless you.
Thank you, Jen, so much for sharing that with us. That's great. Thank you. We're going to go straight from that into sharing communion together. Again, in these strange times, I think we can still describe it as sharing communion together. So if you have got bread and wine or something similar, then make sure that that's available. So yeah, a few days before Easter Sunday, on that Thursday evening, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, his close friends and followers, which wasn't an unusual thing for them to do. They would have eaten together quite often, but this time Jesus gave it a particular significance. He told them to take this familiar food, this in their case, the bread and the wine, and to use them to remind them of him, particularly to remind them of his death, which he knew was about to happen, even though they didn't understand that themselves at that stage. And Jesus asked them to remember him every time they shared bread and wine. And that's therefore what we still do today. We eat and drink together to remind us that Jesus died for us, that he did that to offer us a way back to God. So we've now got the opportunity to share together in that remembering. We do it because we know that we need Jesus to enable us to become the people that we're meant to be. We do it because we want to meet the living Jesus here and now through these people around us, through each other, and together to be part of Jesus' body on earth. So we're going to, John's going to put up a slide again, that image of the cross with names of Jesus in it, and play a track that we can listen to while we're looking at that. So when John puts that up, perhaps you'd just like to, during the 3 minutes or so that track plays, take the opportunity to eat and drink what you've got with you, but also to listen to the track and to focus on the names of Jesus in that image. So thank you, John.